All witches are drawing upon occultic power. And that power does not originate with God. I think that this is a fairly good observation, and one that we ought to keep in mind. Namely, that God is the source of the power of goodness, and Satan is the source of the power of evil. If you are not drawing your power from the Lord, it's rather apparent you're getting it from only one other source. Now, you can call that source whatever you want. You can call it the elemental forces. You can call it magic. You can call it control over the elements or life. A rose by any other name will smell as sweet. But you are still drawing your power from a source other than God. And that is occultic power.
It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. I'm here each week, the same time, same stations, dealing with apologetics and discernment and current events, the cults, the occult, all those issues, light and fluffy topics, as I usually mention. But we try to stay on the cutting edge with interviews and live teaching that's going to help you to deal with the day that we live in. Well, as many of you know, the clip you just heard was the late, great Dr. Walter Martin. His words remain as true today as they were over two decades ago when he spoke those words. I'm just grateful they were recorded, that we could use them again in the day that we live in. And certainly his warnings are even in clearer focus today than they were back then, because we are deeper into the perilous times that the Bible warns us of. Well, this brings us to the second part of my interview with his daughter, Jill Martin Rishi. And she is continuing the legacy of her dad. She heads up waltermartin.com. She's also the executor of his book, The Kingdom of the Cults. You know, Dr. Martin was probably, in my mind anyway, the greatest apologist in the Christian faith during the 20th century, certainly one of the greatest that's ever lived. And I'm in the ministry I'm in today, and it's no secret to those who hear me or have seen me speak out in public somewhere at a conference or whatever. It's no secret that Dr. Martin's ministry meant a lot to me, and that I'm probably in the ministry I'm in today because of Dr. Martin. Jill has co-authored a tremendous book with Dr. Martin's key researcher, Kurt Van Gordon, and they've taken Dr. Martin's notes and his teaching and constructed a book that he had in mind to write before he went to heaven unexpectedly back in 1989. So if you've seen or benefited from The Kingdom of the Cults, which of course is Dr. Martin's classic book that's been used widely through the years, still in print today, being used in Bible colleges and seminaries and by Christians all over the world, well, the book The Kingdom of the Occult is an exhaustive resource center on just about every aspect of the world of the occult, the supernatural, spiritual warfare, and related topics. And we have acquired copies of Jill and Kurt's book along with Dr. Martin. And if you'll go to ericbarger.com, just go to our website, you will find that book on our homepage, or you can call us at 214-289-5244, and we hope you'll take us up on that offer to help support the radio ministry as well. Well, with all that said, here is part two of my interview with Jill Martin Rishi. We are, again, talking about Jill's book, The Kingdom of the Occult, and if you missed the first part of the interview, you can find that in my podcast on our website at ericbarger.com. Just look for the radio archives, and you'll find last week's program. And this week, we want to talk about several different angles. We talked about the proliferation of the world of the occult last week and how the occult is being made normal in the culture around us. Of course, if you've been listening to me over the past few weeks, you've heard me talk about Bible prophecy and how I believe it's being fulfilled by the rise of the occult. And so I felt that to have Jill involved in the discussion and to hear her insights would be a good thing here as we get along in this series. And Jill, we talked about how the occult has become normal around us, and nothing has done that like the Harry Potter novels. The biggest selling novels in history, some of the biggest movies that were ever made are the Harry Potter movies. And so many people saw it. And as I said at the end of last week's program, it's not that everyone who reads one of those books or goes to one of those shows is going to become a witch or a warlock. It's that we'll see no problem when others around us are involved in the world of the occult. Do you want to speak to how we've been desensitized by the occult in this culture?
Well, it's become just as common to speak of things that are occult related as it used to be to speak of things that were of the church, of Christianity. Now, you know, you feel this unspoken and sometimes often very, very clear criticism of Christianity, but there's this freedom to throw around anything having to do with the occult. You see it in television shows. You see it in books everywhere. It's become commonplace. And you know as well as I do, Eric, that anytime something becomes commonplace, there's a desensitization that occurs, and that's what's happened with the occult. The thing that J.K. Rowling did, she crossed the line. You know, fantasy literature, I don't want to pan all fantasy literature. I think that God created us with these wonderful imaginations and that we should use these imaginations. But the problem is, and especially with J.K. Rowling, she took a religion. She took the religion of witchcraft and she wove it into the Harry Potter series. Not only witchcraft, but she took tools of the occult, like tea leaf reading, speaking to the dead. She took all of these things and wove them into a children's story. That's the problem with Harry Potter. So, you know, if people in the church choose to read it, and I always go back to Romans 14, that this is a Romans 14 issue, and if some people choose to read it, that is between them and the Lord. They just need to be aware of what is in it and how that relates to what the Scripture teaches.
Yeah, I've taken the stand that the heroes in the Harry Potter novel do the same things that the villains did when I was a little kid. And now we have the heroes involved in all kinds of occult practices. We have them involved in lying, cheating, you know, swearing, you name it. You're going to find it in the heroes in the Harry Potter novels. And when folks my age, again, I'm early 60s, but when folks my age think about that, I mean, I don't see how we can avoid the fact that the heroes are now doing the same things the bad guys did when we were growing up. And so that's something that I think a lot of people haven't considered when we talk about Harry Potter. And of course, Harry Potter is just the leading edge. I wonder how many other budding J.K. Rowlings there are out there right now who are trying to write the next million-selling novel and have the next screenplay on the big screen. So,
well, you know, the occult always sells really well. That's just how it's been. It will sell really well. And I agree with you. There are so many things in these books that are questionable. For example, where are the adults? Where are the parents? Not just adults, but where are the parents of all these children? And why is it that they are portrayed as powerless and helpless? And also, they're portrayed as not being needed. And I see that a lot in our culture, not only the Harry Potter books, but in a lot of the children's shows on television, the parents are just not there because they're not needed, and that is totally against what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, it's somewhat anti-family. There's no doubt about that. And you know, Jill, this stuff, as we all know, doesn't know the wall of the church. It walks right through it, so to speak. Not to use an occult practice. No, but it does. I mean, this stuff comes right in the more like in the front door of the church, along with a lot of folks. And you know, we as Christians, we want to see people who are lost or in bondage to these kind of things, in bondage to cultic or occultic teaching or philosophies. We want to see them get saved, and their lives will be changed, as mine was coming out of the world of the New Age movement. And that's it. We want to see them come to Christ. But when they bring their New Age philosophies into the church, their occult philosophies into the church, and sit in the pew with them, and then try to incorporate those things as being somewhat harmless or benevolent, that should be a concern to us. And I want us to speak here and get your ideas and get your take upon how the occult has walked into the church and become a part of the church. Just go ahead and speak to that.
Well, when I hear of pastors who set aside a time for the person who teaches yoga in their congregation to come into the sanctuary of the church and practice yoga, I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, me too.
I think, oh, okay, well, let's look at what yoga is. In fact, let's look at it, the definition of it, not from our perspective, but from the perspective of the yogis, the leaders of Hinduism. They are appalled by this because they say that yoga is Hinduism, and you cannot divorce it from Hinduism. That is what the yogis teach. I'm not saying that, you know, just on my own, and I know you're not either. There is a real link here to the worship of demons. Every single one of those positions that you see in yoga were originally crafted as worship positions for one of the many, many, many hundreds of idols or demons, as the Bible calls them, in India. That's what yoga was crafted for. So you have to be really careful, you know, about saying yoga is okay or yoga can be Christianized, because there's a history there, Eric, and I know you understand, too, how important history is. You cannot just erase it. It's there.
Yeah, it certainly is. And what you were saying there was making me think about a couple of slides I have in one of my seminars on the emergent church movement. And I quote an instructor in classical yoga at the Classical Yoga Hindu Academy. And he says, "Is yoga a religion that denies Jesus Christ?" And he says, "Yes." He says, "Just as Christianity denies the Hindu Mahadevas, such as Siva," and he goes through all the Krishna and the different Hindu gods. He says, "Hinduism and its many yogas have nothing to do with God and Jesus." And then he says, "As Hindus who live the yogic lifestyle, we appreciate when others understand that all yoga is about the Hindu religion. Modern so-called yoga is dishonest to Hindus and to all non-Hindus, such as Christians," end quote. I mean, that's a stunning statement from a teacher of yoga, someone who's deeply involved in Hinduism, basically rebuking Christians for thinking that it can somehow be a Christianized practice.
I know. It's really stunning. And they have been all over the internet, too, just screaming about this westernization of yoga. But, you know, it's thrown open the door to the occult, and then you have the emergent church and all the contemplative prayer and going from prayer station to prayer station, setting up little shrines in the church and going from place to place to place praying. And you have these things that are linked to the emergent church, which, of course, denies biblical authority. And here you have the church compromising and by these little doors opening up,
mm-hmm.
and untruth and lies and just a slight twisting of things, and all of a sudden, you're in a place that you don't want.
Of course, you know, Jill, we hear often that, this is just a revival of ancient Christianity, and, you modern 21st century Christians, you don't know any better. And we're bringing back the ancient practices of the church. And when people tell me that, yes, this was done in the 15th century by the great thinkers of that day, I'll go, wait, don't stop there. Keep going back to the first century. Let's see if we have a labyrinth in the first century. Was Paul walking the labyrinth? Was Barnabas encouraging contemplative prayer? I don't think so. And we don't have this in the early church. This is stuff that people who were affected by the occult in the Middle Ages brought into the church and tried to Christianize. And that's what most of the kids, and that's really who is being affected by this, is the 20-something and 30-something folks in the postmodern generation. They don't have a basis in history to understand that this is exactly what's going on. Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here back in the studio. I want to remind you, you're listening to Take a Stand Radio and my interview with Jill Martin Rishi concerning her book, The Kingdom of the Occult. I hope you'll visit ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244 and get a copy of this great resource. You won't regret it. It's something every library, every Christian home needs. I also want to remind our friends here on the radio that this outreach and our live seminars and conferences, as well as the website and the extensive production of DVDs and CDs and printed materials, all of that we do is made possible because of the gifts and support of those who believe in us. 11 months ago, we set out on a course to produce this weekly radio show. There's been no looking back. But I don't think I've been as transparent as I need to be to let you know first that no one is paying us to be on the air. It's quite the opposite. We're paying large sums each week to be allowed to broadcast our ministry across the nation and literally around the world on the internet. So bluntly, I need to express to you that we need your support. I need your support, and there are precious few voices speaking up on discernment and apologetics and the cults, current events, the things I speak about, so we need to keep this ministry on the air. To donate or make a monthly pledge to Take a Stand Radio, please visit ericbarger.com. click the keyword Nehemiah or call us at 214-289-5244. Thanks so much. This is stuff that people who were affected by the occult in the Middle Ages brought into the church and tried to Christianize.
I know. It's a very sad thing to see the approach. We are in the end times, but to see the approach of the really dark side of the end times, where the love of the church grows cold, mm-hmm. and they become so wrapped up in the things of the world and whatever the newest thing is that comes down the pike, that's a really sad thing that I think we are seeing today, is the approach of the darkness,
mm-hmm.
and how it's creeping into everything, and how we must fight, I think, 100 times harder or 1,000 times harder than ever before to keep it from taking over things in the guise of being helpful, or, you know, in the guise of being positive, or, you know, being accepting and not closed-minded. No, you know, the scripture is very closed-minded. It is. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he didn't say there are, you know, 1,500 other ways to heaven. He said, I am the way. Well, that's about as closed-minded as you can get.
Yeah, and really, it comes back to what we talked about last week, is that I think a lot of these practices, yoga, contemplative prayer, the emergent philosophies, those things, much of that really is about people wanting a supernatural experience. They want a spiritual experience, and then they want to slap a scripture on top and think they've Christianized it somehow. But that's what's happening around us, and we just got to keep bringing them back to the Bible. Keep constant. And once again, folks, if there's anything we need to do as the real church today, as Bible believing Christians, is keep focusing on the Bible. Keep bringing people back to what the scripture says, and challenging that which may be called Christian around us, but may actually have nothing to do with authentic Christianity. Well,
right.
Folks, you are listening to Take a Stand Radio. This is your host, Eric Barger. I'm here each week, same time, same stations. I hope you'll join us each and every week. My guest this week is Jill Martin Ritchie. She is the head of Walter Martin Ministries. That was her dad, Walter Martin Ministries, and waltermartin.com. Jill's book, The Kingdom of the Occult, is what we're talking about. It is an exhaustive treatise on the world of the occult, 700-plus pages. Really fascinating chapter titles and chapters to go with it, by the way. And Jill, I am really amazed how few Christians really understand the seriousness of the occult. And I don't think we have to get down in the doom and gloom and be frightened of these things. As we pointed out last week, when we talk about the occult, it is the antithesis of Christianity. It's a counterfeit. That's all that Satan does. That's all he can do is counterfeit. He doesn't create. He counterfeits. But a lot of Christians don't understand the seriousness of this. And I believe, without even realizing it, so many times we see Christians defending these practices that we're talking about. You have anything more to add about how the church is being affected by these things?
Well, I think we are always vulnerable because we live in this world and we don't belong here. You know, we're just travelers through this world. So we are always vulnerable to error, and we need to steep ourselves in the Word of God, right? John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And then in Timothy, we were told what? Study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly interpreting the word of truth. And that's what we can find in the Word of God, is truth. It tells us where to go and how to get there. And books like yours, Eric, and I hope The Kingdom of the Occult, help to show the way, help to protect families, you know, for moms and grandmas out there who see their children becoming involved in things that are scary. You know, books like this are written to help them help the ones that they love. That's what I hope that this book, The Kingdom of the Occult, will continue doing, is helping people to defend the faith and protect the ones that they love from spiritual warfare that is all around us.
Yeah, and that term spiritual warfare has kind of been hijacked by some, but this is really what we're talking about. We are in a spiritual war. And both of our books are pointing this out. Both of our ministries certainly point this out regularly. And the one thing that we're trying to do, more than just prove how right we are and how wrong the occultist is to win the person out of the cults and the occult to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be free and they would be out of the bondage of satanic intrusion in their lives. And that's what I appreciate, Jill. I know in your book you talk about this. And we just talk for a second about maybe some of the techniques or best things we can do, some things that, say, the parent or the friend of someone out there who's involved in the occult, what can we do to get through to them who are involved in some of these practices?
Well, I think the number one thing is to remember that they are people like you and like I, that they are precious in the sight of God. He loves them. He does love them. He died for them. And we need to treat them with love. We need to gently point out certain things maybe that they should think about. A lot of times, for example, with witchcraft, it's interesting to go back and look at the history of it, and that's one of the great strengths, I think, of the Kingdom of the Occult, is it points to history, and go back and say, hey, did you know that there really are, you know, there really are no black witches and white witches? They are all the same. And that's kind of a hook question that would capture their attention. Well, what do you mean they're all the same? Isn't there like black magic and white magic? So the witch is involved in the black and witch is involved in the white? Oh, no, no. Throughout history, there was never any distinction made as to black and white witchcraft. So there you go. There's a conversation starter. You can kind of go from there. And I think books like yours and books like The Kingdom of the Occult give people these little hooks so they can capture the attention of others, and always done in love, never done in a confrontational, angry way.
Yeah, no, I really agree with that. That is so paramount in dealing with someone involved in any cultic or occultic teaching or thinking. And I've said the same kind of things, by the way, so you've really echoed something that you didn't know that I do the same thing. But I tell people, look, you know, when you look at the Harry Potter story, you have white versus black magic. And I said, you know, I remember one time watching Anton LaVey on a TV show, and Anton LaVey was the Pope of the Satanic Church, the writer of the Satanic Bible, and he was mocking a witch by making the statement, she was part of a panel, and he was mocking a witch by saying, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She thinks she gets her power from the earth and the sky and from the elements, and she gets her power from the same place I do, she just doesn't realize it. And that's probably the only time I ever heard LaVey say something I agreed with.
I agree, yep.
Well, Jill, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It always is, and appreciate our friendship. Once again, we've been talking to Jill Martin Ritchie. She is the head of Walter Martin Ministries, waltermartin.com. Her dad was a great influence and effect in my life, as I've said so many times publicly, and it is a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm just so glad that you carried your dad's work on. Anybody out there who is not familiar with the late, great Walter Martin, I encourage you to go to Jill's website at waltermartin.com, and just some of the teachings, some of the audios you have there are so inspirational, and I hope that a whole new generation of believers will be affected and challenged and encouraged by the teaching of your dad and by the teaching that you do, Jill. And I really appreciate you. Thanks for being with me this week. And I hope folks will go to your website, and also we'll get your book, The Kingdom of the Occult, from either of our websites at waltermartin.com or ericbarger.com. Thanks again, Jill.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Well, we're about out of time, folks, and I want to remind you one more time to visit our website, ericbarger.com. You'll find Jill Martin Ritchie's book there, as well as my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and the Bible Prophecy and the Occult DVD we've been featuring. Well, this ministry is brought to you each week on the radio by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. We're funded by the free will gifts of our friends and our supporters. We appreciate your help. Thank you so much. God bless you.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 877-285-7530 or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.